Luke chapter 1. We're going to minister to you on the fire of the Holy Spirit, but we're going to start with the ministry of John the Baptist. And the prophetic word that was given to Zacharias about John the Baptist is found in Luke chapter 1. In verse number 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall neither drink wine nor strong drink. And he also will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord, their God. And he shall go before him," meaning Jesus, "in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now, there's something amazing about John the Baptist. And that is, as I search the scriptures, I find no miracle that he did. I don't find that he even walked with Jesus very much at all. But there was one important thing about him, that the Holy Spirit indwelt him from his birth. You'll notice I didn't say he didn't have a purpose. He had a major, major purpose in ministry, preparing the way for Jesus. And we're going to talk about John and Jesus and both their messages, and then being baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. A lot of people know that their sins are forgiven, but they've never progressed beyond there. And it's great to have our sins forgiven, but many people don't have a vision of what God has for them or what he wants them to do. I was reading Chris Vollaton, is that how you pronounce it? And he said, "People without a vision will always revert to their past." People without a vision where God is taking them will always revert back to what they were. And every one of us God has a vision for. And every one of us God has a purpose for. And as he singled out John the Baptist, he had an amazing calling on his life to prepare the way of the Lord. And you know something? That calling is now in our lives. Because Christ is coming. And we have a purpose and a design and a calling from God to prepare the way for these end time events and the coming of our Savior who is coming. So go with me to chapter 3 of Matthew. Chapter 3 of Matthew. And we're not going to keep you a whole long time, but I want to instill something within you. I want to instill within you the importance of the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the fire. Most people, when they think, and most Pentecostal charismatic churches now, when they think of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, they're thinking of speaking in tongues, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But what we need is a fire of the Holy Spirit burning within us in these last days. And I believe with all my heart that this is a year of the supernatural. I believe God's going to do amazing exploits through his people. And I don't want this church sitting on the sideline saying, well, I got to travel to Pensacola, or I got to go out to Bethel, or I got to go to Redding, California, or I need to chase this somewhere. The Bible says the signs are going to follow the believers. And for many years, believers have been following signs. And it's time for the church to rise up, not having broken wings and not being injured, and do the work that God has called us to do, because it's amazing what He wants to do. You know, sometimes you just need to pick up some of the books of the old men and women of God and then compare it to what God is doing in some lives today. Because most of us enjoy being comfortable, don't we? You want to walk in here, you want to make sure you get your same chair. You want to make sure nobody's disturbing you. And then we want to get out here so we can get out to some buffet or some restaurant. You need to understand revival will make you uncomfortable. You can come in here and somebody's going to have your chair. And then you have to determine, is my spirit Christ-like? And we come to a place where this move of God is for anyone who wants to be involved in it. Jesus wants His church strong. You know, I never have liked the song, "Hold the Fort, for I am coming." We're not supposed to be holding the fort. We're supposed to be tearing down the walls of the fort. And we need to get together with God and the Holy Spirit and be motivated and empowered and burning, so that as we walk around this world, it's not a work. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit that absolutely, radically wants to shake people and wake them up and see, let them see Jesus that's in you. And that's what John the Baptist did. He didn't do it with signs and wonders and miracles. He did it by preaching a simple message. Chapter 3, verse 1. I don't think I've started reading yet, have I? Preached a good message without even reading it. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey." I think that's a special at the Connection today. Hurry up, Larry, get out there. "Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and the region around the Jordan went to him, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to the baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire.'" Now here's the message, one of the messages. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." John and Jesus came preaching the same message. John began by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." If you turn with me to Mark chapter 1 quick. Mark chapter 1. In verse 14. "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of what? The gospel of the kingdom. And saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. Very interesting word, repent. It means to have a change of mind, and along with that come be converted in Acts 3:19. Repent and be converted so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I wouldn't believe that anyone here would disagree that America needs to hear a message of repentance. A message of turning your heart to the Lord. A message of preaching the gospel of the kingdom, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and identification with this. But Jesus went one step further with it. Jesus went to the church in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, five of the seven churches. He says, I want you to repent. I want you to repent. I want you to have a change of mind and a change of heart and a change of conduct. And I want you to follow me. Read that someday. You'll see what Jesus is saying. And so the message comes through of repentance. And John was preparing the way for the Lord to come. And now he comes to a place of saying, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to tie. I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fire has great significance in the Bible. How many remember Moses and the burning bush? The bush was burning, but it wasn't consumed. When the king, King Solomon, offered sacrifices at the temple, when the temple was being dedicated, fire came down from heaven and consumed the sacrifices. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, and they poured the water on the sacrifice, and the prophets of Baal were cutting themselves and dancing and doing all the things. And whoever God answered by fire, he was God. And so they cut themselves all day and danced and shouted and screamed. The prophets of Baal did, and nothing happened. So Elijah says, okay, my turn. Then he said, I not only want you to put the sacrifice, but I want you to pour water on it. I don't know if it was 8 barrels or 6 barrels or whatever it was. But the Bible says that fire came down from heaven, ate the sacrifices, and licked up the water. God answered by fire. On the day of Pentecost, as they were sitting in the upper room, and the wind blew, and the Bible says that sat upon them cloven tongues, divided tongues, like the fire. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Fire. We need within our lives a fresh, new baptism with the Holy Spirit with fire. Not just a doctrinal thing. Not just a thing that would tell us that, hey, you're part of this organization or you're part of this denomination. I know there are denominations that have in their membership cards that if you need to be baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit to be accepted. I'm not talking about that thing. I'm talking about the fact that genuine experience with God that absolutely, radically changes our life, changes our minds, and empowers us, first of all, to be what God's called us to be, and second of all, to do what he's called us to do. The interesting part about this, and you need to see this today, John was telling that there's coming one after me, and I'm not worthy to unloose his sandal, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And John then had Jesus come to him, remember? And Jesus said, I need to be baptized. And John said, no, Lord, I need to be baptized by you. And for years we've thought, well, John wanted Jesus to baptize him. I don't think that was it. I think John wanted and desired the baptism of the fire and the Holy Spirit that he had prophesied that was going to happen. He realized that he needed this touch from heaven to be empowered to go through the rest of what he had to go through. Because we remember, John's in prison. He sends his disciples to Jesus. And they're asking Jesus, John wants to know if you're the Messiah or we're looking for someone else. John knew he was the Messiah. He's the one that prophesied, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. But now he's in a different circumstance. He's in a different situation. And I'm sure the enemy was trying to torment him. And so he just said, I want to be sure. And Jesus said, go tell John you've seen the blind see and the dead rise and people being healed. Go share that with him. It was important for Jesus' disciples to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He told them, I don't want you to depart from Jerusalem, but I want you to go to Jerusalem until you be clothed or endued with power from on high. He told them in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why? He had already sent them out with anointing. I want you to understand something. He sent them out with his anointing. But he was leaving. They were with him. They flowed in that circle. They flowed with his anointing. But he was going to leave, and he knew that they would have to be clothed with power to carry on the commission. You see it? We're coming to us yet. I want you to understand something. The commission gives you authority. When God commissions you to do something, you have the authority. But the power only comes through an encounter. I'm going to repeat that. The commission gives you the authority to do what God told you to do. An encounter with God will give you the power to do what you have to do. And his disciples had been commissioned, but they hadn't had that encounter with the Holy Spirit that was going to fill them and energize and flow through them to touch other people and to give them the strength to accomplish what they need to do. So what about us? For years, people have been arguing about the Holy Spirit. They've been arguing about the fact, do we get it at salvation or is there another experience? In John chapter 20, after the resurrection, Jesus brought the disciples into salvation. In Acts chapter 2, he brought them into the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now you may say, well, what about us? You need the same experience. Almost a daily experience of allowing the Holy Spirit to absolutely saturate us. Will we speak in tongues? I believe we will. But that's not the main importance. The main importance is the Holy Spirit. Bill Johnson, I was reading one of his books a while back, and he says, people are always asking me, what is the evidence of the Holy Spirit? what is the evidence of the fullness of the Holy Spirit? He said, the evidence of the fullness of the Holy Spirit is that you're full. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? And so the Church of Jesus Christ has been trying to do a lot of what God wants us to do without being empowered by the Holy Spirit and the fire of the Holy Spirit burning within us. I like what Jeremiah had to say in Jeremiah chapter 20, if you want to turn back there with me. Jeremiah chapter 20. And I believe we need this fire. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit, but we know the Word of God was written by the Holy Spirit, so we know where the fire came from. Jeremiah is talking to the Lord, and he's saying this, O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I'm in derision, or people are making fun of me, and everyone mocks me daily. For when I spoke, I cried out and I shouted violence and plunder. Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. So what did I do? Then I said, I will not mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. He was coming to a place, he said, that's enough. But this happened. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. A lot of people dealing with a lot of things. A lot of people dealing with the flesh. The power of the Holy Spirit overcomes the flesh. It brings real freedom. A lot of people are saying, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to approach it. I got this friend. I need to talk to them. And yet sometimes they just don't listen to me. The power of the Holy Spirit burning within you will give you the words and the wisdom how to deal with situations. Nothing to be afraid of. Christians have laid awake at night. How do I present this? Ask God. Let the Holy Spirit do it through you. He empowers you. It's not an effort. It's not something I have to beat myself up to do. It's just flowing with God and allowing the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and the fire that God wants to put within us to bring out the answers and the thoughts and the patterns that he wants us to share with others as he leads us. People look at life. They say, well, I'm timid. I'm so timid. Anybody recognize a change in Peter after the day of Pentecost? One time he's saying, I don't know him. Next time he's saying, this is Jesus whom you crucified. In his name and only in his name there's power for salvation. The power of God consumes us, takes over, leads us, directs us, empowers us. Renewing your mind. Anybody have an issue with bad thoughts? I'm not talking dirty thoughts. I'm just talking bad thoughts. Fear. Things going on. Afraid you're going to go back to what you came from. That's not God. Power of the Holy Spirit will renew your mind and let your thoughts be God thoughts. It'll break the power of reoccurring sin. Set you free. It'll give you the life of Jesus beyond anything you've ever imagined. You say, well, what do I do? You get before God and you tell him, I just want what you have for me. I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I want the strength that the Holy Spirit will bring me. And I don't care what people think. Doesn't matter what people say. It's not about someone else. It's about you. It's about you coming before God and saying, God, I know there's more than just forgiveness of sins, no matter how big that is and no matter how important that is. There's a relationship with you that's defined by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to walk in that Holy Spirit. I'm going to be an overcomer. I'm a victor in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to demonstrate your glory to the people around me. And it's for you. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, after Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit, he says, and this promise is for you and your children, and as many as are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Nobody can sit here today and say, that experience is not for me. It's for all of us. How am I going to live in 2014? How am I going to come to a place when things seem to be getting worse and things are falling apart and our nation is going down the tube in a landslide? But don't give up yet. It's not over. The only way of victory and overcoming is through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And they work hand in hand. He gives you the power and the strength and the authority to walk this life out. And it's amazing. For the last couple months, and I'm not putting this on anybody else, last couple months I've been waking up between 2:30 and 4 o'clock and just saying, God, I want the fire. I want the fire. I know it comes through the Holy Spirit. I want the fire. I want the supernatural. I want all that you have in this realm. God responds to a heart that is open. Don't care how it happens. I don't care what happens. I don't care if I shake in bed all night for a year. That's okay. But when God comes in on the scene, there's going to be manifestations. And sometimes we'll say, boy, I don't want the manifestation. The manifestation has a purpose. And the end result of the manifestation of being filled with the Holy Spirit and with the fire of God is freedom. It's freedom. You can try whatever you want. You can try whatever you want. But there's one thing that is for sure, and that is simply that God does not lie. When he says we need the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he meant it. And he knew what it would accomplish through your lives and in your lives. He's real. He's real. If you're going through battles, why not let the Holy Spirit fight the battle? Sometimes you get on your face, you don't know how to pray. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit makes groanings which cannot be uttered through us. You know, maybe you just watched a movie during Christmas, A Wonderful Life. Doesn't compare to this life. This life in Christ. If you remember, Jesus did no miracles until the Holy Spirit descended like a dove and rested upon him. No ministry till the Holy Spirit came down and descended upon him. Purpose. There's a purpose. He was demonstrating our need, and he became our example. And how beautiful it is.